Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast and YouTube channel. Listen, make sure you subscribe today. You can go to iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. You can go to our YouTube channel, True Underdog, or you can visit trueunderdog.com and subscribe to all of it.
Damn, 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 True Underdog. Damn, damn, unleash damn, the power within. Damn, damn, damn.
Jason Waller here, True Underdog Podcast. We have got a guest for you guys today. She is bad to the bone. She's a motivational speaker. She's a podcast host. She's an author. She's a health, wellness, and mindset coach. Let's give it up today for Amberly Lago. How are you doing, Amberly?
Oh my gosh. I'm so happy to be with you. I'm already having fun. I love your energy. So thanks for having me on. It's an honor to be here with you.
Oh, I'm super excited to get into your story. So, you know, you have this book and podcast called True Grit and Grace, and a lot of it touches base on people dealing with depression or not being able to overcome things. Touch base a little bit for the viewers and listeners out there, exactly what this book is supposed to be about.
Well, first of all, I have to say, I love the name of your podcast, True Underdog Podcast, and I've been listening, binging to your podcast because I was the underdog for so long. My daughter's been the underdog, and I love when the underdog wins. It's so rewarding. And so a lot of my book talks about how I was the underdog growing up and, you know, small town in Texas and moved out to California to be a professional dancer. And everybody was saying, oh, you'll never make it. Good luck with that. And next thing they know, I'm dancing on MTV with MC Hammer. And so, and they were like, oh my gosh, she's dancing with MC Hammer in those fancy pants. And then, you know, I was in the fitness industry and everything changed in the blink of an eye when I was coming home from work on my motorcycle and was hit by an SUV. And I honestly didn't realize how serious it was until, I mean, looking down at my leg, it looked pretty serious, but I didn't realize just how much it was going to change my life until I woke up from a coma and doctors said, you have a 1% chance of saving your leg, so we're just going to amputate it. So I feel like I had a lot of chances, you know, there were 99% chance of reasons why I should give up and why I shouldn't keep going forward. And I focused on that 1%, and that was my glimmer of hope. And that's what got me through 34 surgeries and really through hours of excruciating physical therapy and months in the hospital. And through grit and by the grace of God, I've been able to walk again when I was told I'd be wheelchair bound forever. And so I wrote my book as a way to turn my pain into purpose. I think I've learned some of my biggest lessons from pain, and I really wanted to write it. So if there was someone out there struggling, going through a hard time, whether it was emotionally, spiritually, physically, and wanted transformation, true transformation, they could read along the book and not have to hit rock bottom like I did, but be able to keep moving forward. And it's been the most amazing journey because it's really the thing that I love the most about it is that it opened a lot of doors and it has really introduced me to amazing people like you. You know, like I never would have met you had I not written this book. So the best thing about writing this book, besides the messages that I get from people that are like, because of you, I chose to not give up, or because of you, I decided I'm not going to let sexual abuse make me walk in shame, that I get to connect with amazing people from all over the world. And that's the beauty. I think, you know, to be resilient, we need that community. We need that connection. And especially now more than ever.
Yeah, you said something that I think means so much is that community. People are struggling in today's world. And your story of overcoming that adversity, 1%, people quit too early. They quit in life. They quit in hope. They quit in business. They quit in relationships. Everybody quits too early because they don't think they can overcome it. They can't be that underdog. They can't break through. And you know, here you are waking up in a coma. You were doing everything you'd love to do. You were proving those haters wrong and having fun with it. And then this happens. And then you take that road of like, look, I got this. I can figure this out for me. And you did that. And that story is important because you're right. Women out there, kids out there, you know, young ladies out there, they need to hear inspirational stories of overcoming things because unfortunately, our world's not the best place. It can be, but a lot of times it's not. And we have to find a way when we get knocked down to not be knocked out and to get up. And I think that you showed that and wrote a book, and it's so touching. I mean, and you had great kind words about meeting me. And I love that, because it's like the connection that people get and then that knowledge that they share. I've been poor, I've been rich, all of that doesn't matter. You know what fills me up? When somebody texts me or emails me and says, hey, you know what? I did this in my business today because I listened to your podcast, or this made me change my situation. And you get a lot of that, and it made you smile and excited. And I know that that purpose, that feeling, you can't buy that. You giving back to others and sharing your experience, that's really what keeps you going, right?
Yeah, I think too that it's really nowadays, people want instant gratification. I mean, it's everywhere you look. It's, you know, you want to feel happy. You check your Instagram and you're like, oh, I got some likes. It's an instant dopamine hit. Like, it makes you feel good. It's very addictive. Instant gratification is everywhere. You want to watch a movie. You don't have to go buy a ticket. You can just go binge some Netflix. You can everything. You want something delivered one day. You got it on Amazon. And I think that if we learn to appreciate delayed gratification, that's where we find joy, true joy. And look, it took me years to walk on my own, to finally get out of a wheelchair. I mean, I was in and out of a wheelchair for a couple of years. I'd be in a walker and I was like, I don't want this walker. It makes me feel so old. I would rather have crutches. Let me learn to use the crutches. And it was a process of one day at a time, tiny steps at a time. And sometimes actually only being able to stand up out of my bed for seconds at a time was my goal. Okay, today I'm going to stand up for 10 seconds. And so it was really a process, but I used moments that sometimes, you know, when you said the word haters, and I use that as motivation. For me, when I was getting out of the hospital, one of the doctors said, well, I was like, I can't wait to get back home. I can't wait to train my clients again. I'm so excited to run. He goes, oh, well, you'll never run again. And you'll probably never wear shorts again with all the scars that you have. And at first I was just crushed, because here I was so excited to get back to work and do what I love. And he's like, you're never going to run again. And I was like, oh, that was one of my biggest motivating moments right there. I used that. I was like, I am going to run again. I am going to work again. I live in constant chronic pain from a disease called complex regional pain syndrome that I was diagnosed with as a result of the accident. I was diagnosed about 3.5 months after the accident. They couldn't figure out why my leg was a different color, why it gave me so much pain, why it wasn't healing properly. And so I went to like 3 doctors because I was like, tell me I do not have this disease. I do not want to be diagnosed with this. And by the third time, the third specialist was like, oh no, you have it. That really was scary for me, because it's incurable. They don't have anything that can cure it. And they tell you that, you know, I mean, well, it's ranked highest on the pain scale. It's dubbed the suicide disease because it hurts worse than a kidney stone or an amputation, than childbirth, and you can't get rid of it. And I thought my whole life, I just work really hard, or I do all that I can to heal and things get better. But to be told, you need to go get back in your wheelchair, your life is never going to get better, you're going to be in pain forever. That was when I really learned that we have a choice, that we can decide, yes, things don't always go as planned, but we have a choice in how we respond to it. And once I realized that, it kind of put me back in the driver's seat of my life. And I thought, okay, you're saying that I'll be permanently disabled, but I can be dignified and disabled. You say I won't ever work again. Well, there's something I can do again. And that's when I went and got certified as a life coach, that, you know, it kind of goes hand in hand with personal training. Then I went and decided to write a book. Then I started getting asked to speak. I'd never been a speaker. I didn't even know that could be a career. And I kept getting asked to go to more and more talks. Next thing I know, I'm sharing the stage with Mel Robbins and Brendon Burchard. And the next thing I know, I'm getting paid to do it. And so that took years. I mean, my accident was 10 years ago, and it took years of healing, then years of grit every day and determination. And when I finally was able to run again, I was like, it felt so good to prove to myself that I could do it again. And so it's one day at a time, one step at a time. And I think it starts with your mindset. believing that you can have the life that you've always imagined. It's possible. We all have that resilience within us. It's just tapping into it and not giving up.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, when you said one step at a time and the instant gratification, so many times people want the top results, those dream goals. I mean, you're told you're never going to walk again. Yeah, you want to walk again, but in order to do that, you've got to deal with the pain. Then you've got to stand. Then you've got to take a step. And so those smaller wins, those smaller goals eventually lead to the long-term goal. And too many people focus on that long-term goal. You know, they're looking at, that's where I'm trying to get there. And they forget about the roadmap to get there. Or like I like to say, there's no elevator in life. You got to take each step in order to get to the 9th floor, which is you walking again, and the 15th floor, which is you running again. You got all those flights that you have to get in there and do. And when you set your goals that reasonably attainable, but still goals, I think when you get those little wins, you gain more momentum. And then eventually you get a little closer to your dream goal, to where you want to be. Then it's a, oh yes, I did it. I'm walking. Oh yes, I'm running. You get that gratification because you earned it, because you put in the work, because you took each step and you remember each thing along the way that got you there, rather than trying to get there, being told no and not getting that instant gratification. You're right. People are addicted to this. I'm buying this. I'm looking at this. And they're not addicted to, let me put the work in, and it takes time to get there, but I can get there. I just need some little wins.
Yeah. And it's doing the work every day. And like you said, setting those attainable goals is so important. Look, when I got out of the hospital, if I would have just focused on being able to run again, I probably would still be in the hospital bed because I'd be depressed thinking, well, I just can't do that. It's impossible. It's kind of like if somebody wants to lose 100 pounds and they're just focused on the 100 pounds, if they're not focused on 1 pound at a time, let me just start with one. And it's kind of like, you know, if somebody's sober, if they want to get sober, they want to start drinking, they think, oh, I can never have a drink ever again. But if you just think of that one drink stopping one day at a time, then slowly but surely you start adding some days on there. But I think it is important to set those attainable goals and to celebrate them along the way, because I think we get so caught up in, well, I'll be happy once I finally achieve this goal. I'll be happy when my next book is done, or I'll be happy when I get on that TEDx stage, or whatever your goal is, or I'll be happy when I get to this number of followers on social media. But you reach it, and then what? So I think it's really important to find things that bring joy in your life every day and really be in the moment with that and be intentional about everything you do, every conversation, every post, every step of the way that you're, you know, you're focused on what are your intentions. And for me, it's so much about really getting out of my head and staying in my heart, because man, I can get in my head, and I don't know about anybody who's listening to this, but I've got a mean inner critic that wants to tell me that, who do you think you are? Who's going to want to listen to you? How do you think? Oh, I was so nervous when I got up on that TEDx stage, and my inner critic was like, you're the only speaker that doesn't have a PhD. It was terrible. So I have learned to talk to myself and just say, Amberlee, you got this. Amberlee, you're qualified. And sometimes I think about the hardest thing that I've ever overcome, which was getting through 34 surgeries. And I think, if I can get through 34 surgeries, I can go stand on that stage and talk. And so I think it's important sometimes when you're struggling to talk to yourself, say affirmations. And even if you don't believe them right away, just keep saying it, because then you start to believe it. And when you believe it, you start to achieve it.
Amen to that. I mean, I've had times where I was nervous, you know, running a business. I didn't finish high school. I didn't go to college. And so I had people with college degrees that worked for me, and I was intimidated by that for years. Early in my career, 24, 25, 26 years old, I was intimidated because people had PhDs or they were smarter than me and didn't know how to handle that. And you've got to talk to yourself. You've got to have some self-reflection. You've got to have those affirmations to believe in yourself more and gain confidence, because confidence is key to everything. And just because somebody went to school or has a PhD, that doesn't make them better than anybody. What you overcame, they can't do. And if, when you put that into your mind like you did, that's a game changer. It's like, look, I did that. They can't do this. I've got this. And there's been so many times where I've been on stage or had to do something and go out in front of everybody and deal with it. I tell myself, look, this is where I used to be. This is what I've overcome. I've got this. What am I stressing for? And I just rebuild up my confidence and go do it.
Yeah. And you know what helped me with that? Because I wasn't getting it. I couldn't get out of my head about that. I was so freaked out because, you know, I was doing the TEDx Berkeley talk and it was their 10th year anniversary. And it's a really prestigious stage, the TEDx Berkeley. It's a huge event and it was already sold out. There were like 2,500 people and they're like, the media's live. And so my husband and I opened the website and it's like all these speakers and all of them had all these initials behind their names and they were all PhDs. Every single one of them had a PhD except for me. And so my husband was like, oh my gosh, you're the only one that doesn't have a PhD. And I was like, you didn't even go to college. And and he was like, do you think maybe they could at least say that you're an author? And I'm like, well, they don't want to promote books on the TEDx. It's not about promoting a product. And I don't want to ask them. And so the curator and I talked and I was like, hey, listen, maybe do you think you could put, you know, my NSCA initials for coaching or maybe that I'm an author? And she's like, I said, you know, I'm the only one that doesn't have a PhD. And she goes, oh my gosh, are you intimidated? Are you feeling bad about this? Are you self-conscious of this? And I was like, well, yeah. She goes, let me tell you something. You have a PhD in heart, and that's why we're having you on our stage. And so that changed everything for me. And so we all have a PhD in heart. We all have a PhD in our experience, you know, your life experience of Jason, what you have built, what you do. I mean, people want to learn from you. You have the life experience of all you've overcome and all you've achieved, and that's priceless. And so that changed my life. Sometimes it doesn't, you know, something somebody says to us can really shift our perspective. And so that's why I always encourage people to reach out and reach out to your friends who you think are strong that look like they're really succeeding, because I guarantee you they're struggling with something, and just check on them. Hey, how you doing? You know, yesterday I had one of my friends, I don't know if you know Antonio Neves, he's an amazing guy. I'll have to introduce you, but he's just written a book and such a good guy. And he was on the Today Show and I was like, oh God, I bet he's getting a million messages. I don't know if I want to text him and bug him. And I was like, you know, screw that. I'm going to text him that he was great. He was phenomenal. So I just sent him a text. Hey, you killed it on the Today Show. It was awesome. And he actually sent me a voice message back. Thank you so much. Because a lot of times, different levels of your career, you can struggle. It doesn't matter how successful you are. You always need those cheerleaders, those people that are fanning your flames, those people that you can reach out to. And that's why I'm so big on like surrounding yourself with the passionate people, the go-getters, the people that have got your back and that can give you good counsel. That's why I love masterminds. That's why I love, my favorite thing about podcasts is just being able, we were talking about it before we started recording, is just being able to make friends with and build relationships like this is amazing.
And learn from everybody's perspective and their experiences. Because, you know, when I won the EY Entrepreneur of the Year Award, I didn't even know what that was. And people on my team were like, hey, it's a big deal. You need to go down there. So I went down there and met with the judges.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. But I want to share the story because it's like what you were experiencing when you talked to on the TEDx, the lady told you, you got a PhD in heart. I had this doubt. I'm in there and I'm meeting with these judges who are all ex-winners and everybody there has got this college education, all these things. And it's little old me, right? And I've got a big company. It's exciting, but still it's like, I was a little intimidated. This is just 2 years ago. So the NBA draft lottery thing was on and the girl Chevy who runs the program for EY, and I had our blogger with me. He was, you know, taking notes and keep writing stories of how this was going, because that's what we always do. And I mentioned to her, I was talking to her, I was like, oh, I think that basketball player, he's going to stay at Duke. He's not going to come out. He doesn't want to come out and go to the Pelicans. He wants to stay at Duke. And she goes, oh, is that where you went to college? I said, no, I never went to college. She goes, oh, you're the one. And I'm like, the one what? And then a light bulb went off. She said, you're one of the first ones ever to not finish high school or college and be an EY you know, contestant, right? So I knew the next day I leveraged that. I said, you know what? I'm going to go in there because that was the cocktail hour. The next day I had to do this whole presentation and I had 10 minutes with eight judges in this room and 10 minutes with eight judges in this room. And everybody had to go in and make their pitch. And then they wrote their story and determined a winner. We found out 3 months later. I went in and crushed it. I went in and dropped the mic because I said, you know what? I'm going to emphasize what makes me different than everybody else out here. Just like you did. I said, I bootstrapped. I had a kid in my team. I told them the story and I said, that's why I'm the Entrepreneur of the Year because I've done this. Nobody gave me nothing. I didn't have a silver spoon. I had to learn from my failures. And I was so passionate with conviction and ready to rock and roll. Well, they were chest bumping me at the end. I knew when I left, there was nothing I could do more and felt like I should have won. And then I ended up winning. So it ended up working out. But that's a moment that I can relate to when you were intimidated. And then this person's like, what are you talking about? You got a PhD in heart. Like, we all have these experiences that make us unique and make us powerful in our own way. And there is nobody better than anybody at anything. I believe, you know, God gives us all attributes. It's just different. I'm only 5'10", maybe 5'9 and a half. But if I was 6'5", I wouldn't be as smart as I am. That's just my opinion. Everybody gets attributes and they're even, right? And they shift them. That's my belief. So, you know, you get what you can handle and the experience. You can't pay for experience. Like,
that's
experience
right.
makes
wisdom.
You so much better, right, than just reading a book or going to class. That experience changes everything. And the things that you overcome, that grit, you know, and that strength, and you're able to overcome so many other things where a lot of people just crumble. And that's what that experience and that tenacity comes from dealing with struggles. And I love that. I love hearing those stories.
Well, and the thing is, we build grit by going through challenging times. And every challenge that I had growing up, struggling, not having the perfect childhood, then being a dancer and constantly, you know, you're rejected. It's a harsh world. And then succeeding, having an incredible career as a dancer, starting a business from the ground up, failing sometimes, learning from the failures, losing money on investments, all that stuff. That is what builds grit and gives you the experience to then take that and build something even better. And I love that you share that, you know, nobody gave you nothing. You worked for it. You didn't have that silver spoon. You're like, you worked your butt off for it. And I love that you took what set you apart and you shined a light on that. And that was like, yep, that's my superpower right there. And something happened for me when, you know, I used to be really embarrassed of, well, a lot of shame. I hated the way that I looked. I was embarrassed of all my scars. My leg looks like it's been, you know, chewed on by a shark. It's deformed. My ankle's fused. And I went from doing fitness modeling and being sponsored by Nike and infomercials to now I'm completely scarred from the hip down. And I used to be really embarrassed. And, you know, the minute I started to love and accept my leg and started to look at it with, oh, this is pretty badass that this was a 1% chance and it's a miracle this doctor saved it. That doctor is badass. When he looked at my leg as it's a miracle, something shifted in me. And I thought, wow, if he can look at my leg like that, maybe I can learn to look at it that way too. Maybe I can learn to accept it. Maybe I can learn to love it a little bit. And things started to shift. And now, when I fully accepted it as, you know, it's a miracle I have it, I kind of shined a light on that shame that I had for it, and it just changed everything. So I think that things that make you, set you apart, those are your superpowers. You know, those are what you can tap into and makes you different than everybody else. And so I love that you shared that. I think I started to get more connected with my community when they started to see me wearing shorts and not being embarrassed of all my scars, just like, well, this is what it looks like. What inspired me to do that was somebody, a friend that called and said, wow, your life must be nice. Your life is perfect. You get to speak on all these stages. You've got a husband and kids. And I was like, oh my gosh, my life is so far from perfect. It's not perfect at all. This is what I deal with every day. I have pain. I got scarred up. My husband and I get into arguments, but we work it out. You know, my kids are struggling with virtual school, but we work it out. Life isn't perfect, but you just dig deep to find the grit to figure it out and keep moving forward.
I love that you said that you wanted to love your leg and then you needed to find a way to do that, because I believe that you have to love yourself before anybody else is going to love you. And I think, again, the confidence, the insecurity of feeling less than or worried about that, rather than proud and look at me, I've overcome that. That's my superpower. I think when you change that mindset, I think that's exactly right. People get behind that. They're like, wow, that is unique and awesome. And it's all the perception of how we love ourselves or care about ourselves. That's what people will see. I believe that. If we're insecure about our weight or our looks or our intelligence or our education, people see that. If we are confident about that and we love ourselves, they see that. And people want to be around people who love themselves. They want to love them also. I truly believe that. And so I think that's awesome how you shared that.
It was hard. Thank you. It was hard though. I mean, I was really, you know, I remember going out. It was when I could finally put shoes on again. I was wearing, it was like 110 degrees out and I was wearing knee-high boots. And my friend was like, why are you wearing knee-high boots? And I was like, oh, I'm going to wear boots to cover up my leg for the rest of my life. And she's like, why? You know, and I remember when I first started to show my leg in public, I was so excited. I was able to walk on crutches for the longest amount of time I'd ever walked. And I'm sitting there at Starbucks and I have my leg propped up because I had to prop it up everywhere I went for circulation reasons. And this guy comes over and he goes, oh my God, what happened to you? It was somebody I used to work with. And I was like, oh, I was in a really bad motorcycle accident. And he goes, whoo, that is messed up. I'm glad I didn't marry you because I would divorce you. And I was just like, well, I'm glad I never even went out on a date with you, mister, you know? And so I got comments like that. And had I not started to really love myself first, those would have crushed me. Those kind of comments would have crushed me. And I didn't even think about it as being confident at all, really, not even really until somebody brought that up in a clubhouse room the other day. You know, we were talking and they're like, I just love that you're confident. And I thought, wow, I didn't even think of it as confidence. I kind of just thought of it as, I don't care. Life's too short to get caught up in the way that my leg looks. I'm just in gratitude that I have my leg. And some people think it's really ugly and some people don't care. And then some people, it has inspired them to love and accept their scars. I've had people reach out to me who had, you know, double mastectomies and they're like, you have given me permission to love my body and my scars. I am thriving. I'm building a business now. And that brings me joy and strength. You know, being of service is what I love to do most. And when I get stories like that, that's when I'm like, it sets me on fire, my passion on fire. Cause I'm like, yes, that's what I want to do. I want to, if I can inspire someone to love themselves a little more and to keep moving forward, or, you know, that's what brings me joy.
I love that. I love that you're the humility that you have and where you've been and how you share that. I think the listeners can relate to that. I mean, people, we all struggle with confidence or feeling good about ourselves and people saying comments, and is that true? And I think confidence adds value to everything. It's true. When I think of that movie, I can't remember what it's called. I think it's called I'm So Pretty or whatever. And it's Schumer, the girl something Schumer. And she feels like she's not attractive. She's a little bigger and she's looking in the mirror and she doesn't like herself and she hits her head. And then all of a sudden she looks in the mirror and she's like, oh my gosh, I'm amazing. And like, she has all this confidence that she starts getting people attracted to her. And I use that movie as an example just because that's how life is. Like, people love confidence. They love that. And you have confidence. It's exactly what it is. You're confident because you don't care anymore, which means you're comfortable in your own skin and you're confident who you are. Yeah. And people aren't used to that.
Jason, that's what it is. It's being comfortable in your own skin. And I wasn't like that for a long time. I mean, I really wasn't. And it took a lot of work. It took a lot of willingness. You know, I feel like a lot of times people want transformation, but it's hard to do the work. You got to do the work too. And I did. I mean, there were years where I was healing and going to therapy and writing, journaling out things and reading self-help books, anything I could do to try to get better, you know, but I wasn't comfortable in my own skin. I didn't have confidence. And it wasn't until I really decided that I wanted more out of life, that my kids deserved more, that they deserved a mom that would teach them how to be resilient and be the victor of their life instead of the victim. I wanted my daughters to appreciate all that they are, all that they, you know, what they look like, how they show up in the world, no matter what they look like. And I thought, I can't do that if I'm not loving myself. How can I teach them how to love themselves? And so I was like, there's got to be a better way. I have to figure this out if I want to have a better life. And so again, when you decide you want more out of life, that you want a better life, then you realize, hey, I'm in the driver's seat. Every decision I make is going to move me closer to the life that I love and that brings me joy, or keep me stuck. And I was like, I don't want to be. I was not only stuck, I was spiraling down and going down quick. I was like, I was a wreck. I mean, 5 years ago, if you would have seen me, you would probably not recognize me. I had no spiritual connection. I was drinking every day to try to numb out my pain because we had done every kind of treatment to try to figure out this nerve disease. Nothing was working. We had a lien on our house just to pay for medical expenses. We had $2.9 million worth of medical expenses. And it wasn't until I decided I need help. I want to clean up my life. I want to get my spiritual connection with God that my life started to change. But it took a willingness and it took a good hard look at looking. It wasn't what I was doing that wasn't working. So by the grace of God, I have 5 years of sobriety and I do my best to show up and be the best version of myself every day and try to be of service to others however I can. You know, I have a support group on Clubhouse on Fridays for people with CRPS or any kind of chronic pain or any kind of trauma that they're overcoming. And I love getting DMs from people on Instagram is where I hang out most because you can leave voice messages there. And that's what really fills my heart. I check all those. I get a little behind on that. I don't know if it's hard for you sometimes to check those DMs, but I check every one of them. I don't have somebody that does that for me because I like reading them and I like sending messages. I guess eventually maybe I'll get to the point where I have a big team that does that, but I don't know if I'll ever do that. I like checking all that myself.
I still check all my messages. I don't do the postings, but I still have to see the messages and relate to that. So I keep the team off of that. I'm like, let me look at that and see that. But, you know, your story is amazing. I'm sure your daughters are so proud of you. I mean, that's a superhero trait right there for everything that you've been able to overcome and everything that you're about now. And you know, I'm sure that they're super excited to see how it's so important for, because I have three daughters and then a son. It's so important for daughters to see their mom in a strong spot, to be confident. You know, they, it's so important.
She was so proud. Thank you for saying that because, you know, my oldest daughter, okay, here I'm a mom that never went to college. I pursued my dance career. My oldest daughter just got accepted into Yale.
Oh, wow.
I'm so proud of her.
That's awesome.
My youngest daughter went with me when I did the TEDx. And to see her on the stage, and I could tell she was like so proud. And then she told her teacher at school about me, and her teacher at school wants me to have, you know, have me come speak to the school. That just makes me so proud. The best thing I've ever done in life is my kids. They're my biggest inspirations. And to know that we have the power to set a good example for them, to be present in their life, to really be there for them. That's everything to me.
That's awesome. Such a great story.
So you've got three kids and one boy. I always wanted a boy.
Yeah, four kids total, three daughters and a son, 22, 17, 14, and 10.
Oh,
and then my granddaughter's almost two. Yep, I'm a grandfather. So my granddaughter's almost two, and my grandson's on the way. He'll be born in May.
Oh, that is so exciting. I was saying before we started recording, I can't wait for that. I think it's going to be a long time before I'm a grandma just because, you know, my daughter's starting Yale. I don't think she's going to have time for kids for a while, but you know what? I'll just babysit for you. So
there, if you we go. End up Absolutely.
Moving to, yeah, if we end up moving to Florida, there you go. Maybe I'll come see in North Carolina or Michigan. I don't know. I'm very inspired by you and that you're an action taker, that you just go for it. You're like, I want to do this. And you don't just talk about it. You go for it. And that is so inspiring. And your energy.
I do have some, I will say I do have some exceptional energy. I don't know where it comes from. I wish I could bottle up and sell it. I'm always like ready to go. But you know, I decided me and my wife are the complete opposite. She can't make a decision, and there's nothing wrong with that, but she can't make a decision. So I've over the years have to make decisions, and I make them fast so I don't stay in the mud. So I have this whole concept of like, look, something's coming up. I'm just going to make the best decision I can, and I'm going to have zero regrets, and I'm going to make that the best set of cards I have when I'm playing poker. I'm not going to have it. You can't go backwards and think about it. And we live once. We got to make decisions rather than sit in the mud. And so I do that. And some of it's great, some of it's not, but I make the most of it. And that's all you can do.
Yeah, I'm the same. I mean, I do the same. I sometimes don't think about it enough before I'm just like, yeah, I'm doing this. And so it's gotten me into trouble a few times. But it sure is fun. I love an adventure. I love doing, you know what? I always tell my clients, do something that scares you every day. You know, and I do stuff that's scary. I people think, you know, courage is you're not afraid and you're just out there doing stuff and it maybe you make it look easy. And it's funny. I'm like, oh my God, no, I was scared to death when I did. You know, people are like, oh, I saw you on the Today Show and it made it look easy. And I'm like, I was scared to death. I was so nervous. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was just like, I'm going for it. You know what? And I think that you talking about your energy, I think you have such good energy because you're in alignment. I think when we're in alignment with our purpose and our passion and what we're meant to do, that's when we're energized and it just feels good.
Yeah. Well, you're an inspiration and your story is freaking awesome. How can people find you, Amberly? What's the best way to find you? Give them, talk a little bit more about the book and all the sites that they can find you and follow your podcast.
Well, thank you again for having me on. I just love this conversation with you. And I love connecting with people. Like I said, that's my favorite thing to do. So you can text me and it's me texting you back. It's not some robot or it's actually me texting you back at 818-214-7378. And I'd like to give your listeners, I created a little playbook that I'd love your listeners to have. It's if you text the word grit, just text grit to 818-214-7378 and you get a downloadable playbook and it takes you through the process of my PACER method, which teaches you how to tap into your resilience so you can overcome adversity. But you can find me at amberlylago.com with other free gifts. My podcast is True Grit and Grace. My book is True Grit and Grace. And I hang out on Instagram mostly at Amberly Lago Motivation, where you can see my crazy stories of my daughter and I usually doing silly stuff. And then Amberly Lago on every other platform. So I'd love to hear from you.
And Clubhouse. You've been on Clubhouse. That's where we kind of found each other. I love Clubhouse. You love Clubhouse?
Yeah, I love so Clubhouse. I kind of am down to like maybe 1 to 2 days a week.
Yeah. It was addicting at first, and now I got to slow down. I'm the same way.
Yeah, I had to set some boundaries around there because I was like, oh my gosh, I just spent 3 hours on Clubhouse and I didn't get anything done except for that. And so now I have some rooms set up. I do set aside a room every Friday for CRPS warriors and people that have been through trauma or pain, just as a way to connect. And as a result of that, I have to say, by connecting with this community that's building, we had one of our CRPS warriors that was in the group and she was out of network for a surgery. She's an amputee. She needed $19,000 to get this surgery. She needed it in a week. So we talked about it. We all came together. We all posted about it. She just hit her goal. She got $19,000. So she gets to have her surgery. So that's the incredible thing about community is when you come together and you reach your hand out and somebody else reaches their hand out, whatever you can do. And I'm like, I wasn't telling people donate. I was just like, you know what? Do what you can. If you could just send a prayer, that's enough. But whatever you can do, whatever, you know. And so I think that's amazing. And that's why I love Clubhouse is getting to meet you hear other, like I was on the Clubhouse the other day on a panel with Tori Spelling.
Isn't that awesome? 90210 Tori Spelling. I was on, I've been on with like Grant and Draymond John, but I think the best one I was on was Corrupt. Yeah, I'm into old school rap. It was DJ Corrupt from like Dr. Dre days. I was like, he's on here? So I was just listening to him speak. It was interesting. I love Clubhouse.
I was on the other day and MC Hammer. I was like, honey, MC Hammer is on Clubhouse. Here he is right now. And I was like, awesome. I want to get on there and like, I need to talk to him and see how it's going since we did our video together.
Yeah. How's it been? What are you doing now? I could still go. What do you need?
I can still go. Want to do another one? Let's do it.
There you go. That's awesome. I love MC Hammer. So, hey, thank you so much for joining our show. That's a wrap. Make sure you check her out. Amberlee Lago. Bam. And that concludes another episode here on True Underdog. If you're interested in hearing more, make sure you subscribe at iHeartRadio, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or the YouTube channel. You can always visit trueunderdog.com, subscribe to all of them. Make sure you check out our newest episodes coming out on Mondays and Thursdays. True Underdog, baby.
Bam! Bam! True Underdog. Bam! Bam! Bam.